Omnia Movie uses full-size VHS tapes, plays Hollywood movies all your own.
Retro review is right. We are back here again, ladies and gentlemen, and with a special guest. And we have a lot to cover with our special guest, so I'm just going to get all this BS out of the way, just right off the dome. Hey, socials, you want to connect with us? At the Matt and Mark Movie Show. It's on Instagram, TikTok. You want to leave us a voicemail, 707-948-6707. You can connect with us. Leave us a message. We will play it on the show. And we have a Patreon. That is patreon.com/the Matt and Mark Movie Show. The link is in the show notes. I won't belabor the point anymore, because tonight we have a very special guest. A, he's just a super fucking cool guy. B, he's been like our patron since the beginning. I think he might be the first patron. And we have wanted to get him on this show for a seriously long time. And we are very, very lucky to have him here tonight. And that is the artist. They call him the artist known as Dasein.
Also, yes, a very talented musician too.
Yes, oh. Dasein, what's up, man?
Dude, thank you guys so much for having me on and that lovely introduction. I'm honored.
Yes, so and I'm exciting. Not the only one. I'm not the only one here with an introduction for you like that. Just to really make it official, your first Matt and Mark Movie Show experience. Aspot, take it away.
Oh my God.
My circuits detect a very special guest. Welcome to the show, Dasein, number one patron, cool guy, king of the castle. Welcome.
He kind of went to the Back to the Future 2 thing like there. Yeah, he's like, Lord of the Manor, king of the castle.
Wow, that is the greatest honor I've ever been bestowed. Wow.
So Dasein, tell the audience, I mean, we know who you are, but please tell our audience who you are so they can know you better and follow you on Spotify and whatnot.
Yeah, so I'm a musician. I write under the name Dasein, and you can find all of my music and stuff on pretty much any of the music platforms. Some of my music gets used for the music and the Love of Cinema, Your Brother podcast, and My Brother's podcast. and yeah, I mean, if you're interested in music that has a bit more of a journey aspect to it, it's almost like a movie. Like, they're long form pieces, more of like a symphonic kind of structure, but with a lot of like fun kind of electronic to funk to ambient elements, but also have a very like poignant and emotional bent to them. If that sounds appealing to you, go check it out. I try to be as prolific as I can. I put some stuff out in 2023 that's part of a bigger project that's been going on since 2022. So hoping to do something like once a year-ish. So if you're interested, go check it out.
Very cool. Yeah, go follow Dasein on Spotify. You can hear they stole one of your best riffs, The Love of Cinema. That fucking opener is killer. They took like the best one. They were like, I'm gonna take this shit. I don't blame them. You know, they took a really rocking one. So
that last piece to end the show is pretty fun every time.
Yeah, it's fucking good, man. Those Love of Cinema guys, they know what they're doing over there.
Yeah,
they know. I was just telling Dasein that I was on their show last week, and I want to give them a quick shout out. Do go check me out. Main show people, you didn't hear us last week because Mark and I were doing a commentary on the movie The Shadow. And you can hear that if you join our Patreon for as little as a buck. You can hear me and Mark. You can watch me and Mark watch The Shadow. And it was a really fucking good time. And it was such a good time that the man who made that movie, Russell Mulcahy, we're fucking reviewing one of his movies again this week. This time, maybe, I think it's his first movie ever, right? Directorial debut.
I think so, yeah, 1984.
Razorback. Or as they say in the film, Razorback.
Razorback.
It's a Razorback. One thing I wanted to talk about really quick is, I always forget this, and I don't know why, but Russell Mulcahy made one of my favorite movies of all time, and I always fucking forget. I love The Shadow, but I always forget that he made Highlander. Which is a fucking movie.
No, how did you forget that? That's
dude, I always just think, you know what it is? I always think Highlander, and I think the Queen song, and the Kurgan, and the fucking badass sword fights, and Christopher Lambert. Yeah. But I never remember. I don't know why, dude. I never remember that it's Russell Mulcahy. And I think Razorback is the thing that got him that gig. And you know how Highlander has those crazy transitions, like he'll fucking go down past the fucking fish tank, and then all of a sudden you're back in Scotland, like coming out of the waters. Yeah. There
Razor
are a few
is something cool.
Yes,
with
yeah, there are a couple
shot
good
on the highway.
Yes, there's that one, and there's also a really simple one where there's like a, I don't know what you call this fucking. It's like a farm equipment. Is that the fucking pet food? Pet Peck. To the pet pack place where the thing falls down into frame and then he uses that to wipe back to something else. And I was like, and that's when it hit me, dude. Cause I didn't even think about it before then. When that transition happened, I was like, Highlander. Like I recognized it. A nice. Chill went up my spine.
You know what's crazy? I think that was my first introduction to the director because I remember buying that DVD and being so excited because I guess back in the day, everyone was talking about how awesome it was.
Yeah.
And then to like finally see it. But of course it was a DVD, but back in the day, it looked amazing. And it was probably one of the best on DVD.
So Mark's untrained eyes, the 480p looked amazing. Dude, you know what?
They didn't have revivals though. So that you were basically, the best quality was a DVD.
Listen, on your fucking CRT TV, your fucking 480 DVD, shit looked great, I bet. I bet it was mind-blowing at the time. Don't hate on the DVD.
I think relative, the TV I watched it on was like 19 inches. It was like a tiny piece of shit.
You look at these beautiful Scottish fields, it just looks like green mush. There's no definition. He's just combing green shit. Anyway, we're not talking about Highlander. I could talk about Highlander till we're all sick. There can be only one. But
a French Scottish guy.
A Frenchman playing a Scotsman, and then we have a Scotsman playing an Egyptian playing a Spaniard. Jeez. We're not talking about Highlander. We're talking about Razorback from 1984. I won't even go into the cast. It stars no one you've seen or heard of. It is available. And I do, before we launch, like, formally into our review, I do want to ask you guys how you watched this and how it looked. Because, I had to rent the movie, and my transfer filled up the screen, but it looked like I was watching off of a VHS. Like, it was flat.
Yeah.
Really?
Same.
Yours was,
same.
Too?
I rented it on iTunes, and it definitely looked like shit.
I went the Prime Video route because it was like $3, like $3.50 or something, and I was like, okay, cool. And I was like, because I saw, Mark knows this, but like I saw Umbrella Entertainment, who does awesome 4K Blu-ray stuff. I saw they, of course, they're an Australian company, so they're gonna have an amazing 4K of Razorback, and I was like, it's not gonna make it to the show in time because it's literally shipping from the bottom of the globe. It's not gonna get here.
Is it Australia only, that copy?
No, dude. It's a 4K, so it's region free. You can watch it anywhere. But it just, it wasn't, once I knew, because we should say Mark picked this week's movie. Because I was like, I don't know what to review with Dasein. I was thinking of something musical, but then I was like, Mark hates musicals. I was like, Mark, what are you watching? What are you watching?
Nice.
And he was like,
that would have been very sad.
Yeah, yeah. He was like, fuck it. I'm watching Razorback. We should just do this. And I was like, okay, man, I've never seen. Because like, Dasein, let me ask you this. Mm. Are you a fan of creature features? Not monster movies, but like when animals attack kind of movies.
So I'll tell you, I'm a fan of creature effects, and I have been for very long, since I discovered probably The Grandmother, David Lynch's short film with those amazing creature effects in high school. That's when I realized that I love that shit. But I didn't discover creature movie, like monster attack movies, until I started watching your show, and then I just went on a tear.
Oh, really?
I'm sorry.
I went on a tear from Ghost in the Darkness to Rogue.
Ghost in the Darkness, Rogue.
This is awesome.
I was starting to run down a list of, I was like, okay, we've got, I love that you said Ghost in the Darkness to me, number one.
Yeah.
And I was like, God, I like Rogue.
It's
Rogue
on another level.
It's on another fucking level, dude. I also like, I'll go to bat for Anaconda. I think Anaconda's actually really fun.
Yeah. I have not rewatched that one, but I watched it so much as a kid. It was one of my constant rentals, dude.
I watched it pretty recently, and I have a thing. Ice Cube just makes me laugh. I think it's the 90s kid in me because I'm just used to him being like a gangbanger. So like he's out there with his like jorts in the jungle and he's like, and snakes out there is big. Like that shit makes me laugh.
Gat.
And gross John Voight.
And super gross pervy Brazilian
Holy
John
shit.
Voight.
I forgot John Voight was in that.
Eric Stoltz is in a bed the whole time.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to rewatch that.
Actually, has a good cast.
Yeah. Also, you got a bunch of great Croc movies. Lake Placid.
Yep.
Crawl is a great one too.
Crawl
that a lot of
is like
about.
Top of my list. I keep meaning to watch
Relic.
It. I have yet to do it.
So
good. I'm not even familiar with that one.
The Relic's a monster. That's a monster.
It's kind of a
proper
creature. It's. I think it's more aligned with Razorback than Ghost.
I see, because you're going like, you know, like, I mean, ancient animal thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, okay. All right. I give you that. I give you that.
Because I think the Razorback is pretty supernatural in this too, because it's massive.
Yeah.
And it causes destruction like it's a fucking armored car. Like,
remember when it tears the corner of that guy's house off and his TV just drifts into the outback?
And the whole corner of his house detaches.
That made me laugh. My
that was
ass
so good.
Yeah, dude.
Oh my God, dude.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
So the short answer is yeah. Huge fan, probably because I was obsessed with Ninja Turtles as a kid. And just the secret of the ooze, those monsters, that just never left me.
Fuck, we're getting a rated R one, apparently.
Yeah, Ronin. Nice. They're trying to make a Last Ronin rated R live action TMNT. I have to read that comic. I just downloaded it because I'm like a massive turtle fan.
Yeah.
And I haven't read it yet. Everybody's been telling me, they're like, dude, I know you don't keep up with the comics anymore, but you have to check it out.
Mm.
Yeah. Have either of you guys read it yet? Mark, have you read it?
No.
That's
no.
My first time hearing about it. I was like, holy shit.
Dude, the hook alone is fucking nuts. I'll just quickly do this because who cares? Like, this is the hook for The Last Ronin. This is how good this is. It's the future in like a wasteland version of New York. And there's one turtle roaming what's left over of New York City, and he's got all the weapons, the scythes, the katanas, the nunchucks, and the staff. And his mask is like black, and he's been through some shit. Everyone he knows is dead. Splinter is dead. The turtles are dead. You don't know the identity of who this turtle is, who the surviving turtle is, until I believe the final bit in the book. And that's The Last Ronin. That's the hook of the idea.
That sounds dope.
Yeah. I'm in, dude. Yeah.
I read that and I was like, holy shit. Like,
did
that's
you
a good hook.
Spoil it for yourself, by the way?
No, I didn't, because a buddy of mine who's also super into turtles, and he's followed up with, like, because I've done some turtle books, and he was like, dude, you gotta read Last Ronin. And I was like, what? And he was like, what? I was like, what the fuck is that? And he's like, you gotta read Last Ronin. Because at first, because he listens to the pod too, and I thought he was making a Ronin joke. And he was like, no.
I see what you mean.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, is this a Ronin thing? Yeah. I was like, is this a Ronin thing?
Sean Bean's in it?
Bit of raspberry jam. A bit of raspberry jam, that
give
is.
Give me some money.
Give me the money. Give me the money. Anyway, yes, Last Ronin. It's a TMNT comic. They're going to make it into a rated R movie very soon. So let's just get into this, guys, because we're already starting to kind of talk about it, because it is super fun. And let's start. I want to lead off with our guest, Mr. Dasein. What did you think of Razorback?
I'm so glad you picked this movie, Mark. I would probably have never watched this, and I just had the biggest, dumbest smile on my face the whole time. I just had a fucking blast with it, honestly. It was, I think the word I would use for it would be shameless. They were shameless about this caricature of Australian life, just in the best possible way.
Dude,
every time I was like, it
didn't make the Outback look fucking terrifying.
Terrifying, absolutely.
It's like, is everything in the Outback Mad Max then? So it's like you have like your cities, and then as soon as you leave Sydney, it's just Mad Max.
Yeah,
exactly.
And the way that Mulcahy shoots stuff with like that haze and that atmosphere and the lights, like, didn't you know what it kind of reminded me of? And it's just because I'm a big Freddy Krueger fan. I was like, this looks like all the nightmares in Nightmare on Elm Street. But just as like a town in a place that you can visit.
Yeah. I could totally see that.
It's horrible.
I totally agree with that. I love that hyper stylized look though, the film. Did you guys like that, or did it kind of take you out of it, or did you appreciate those?
No, I'm right there with both you guys. I loved every minute of this thing. I kind of knew I was going to love it, because the first image I saw when I started researching the movie was a bit of the teaser art I put out on our Instagram, which is like, the warthog, the wild boar, I guess, this thing is massive. It's like the size of a truck.
It's a razorback.
It's a razorback, technically. It's a razorback. But this thing is fucking huge, and I saw it had this really dramatic like music video kind of lighting underneath, and I was like, okay, this is going to be cool. And it's right up my alley.
Nine-inch nails?
It's super lean and mean. It's super aggressive. I think it's like an hour 40, maybe.
It's an hour and 30, no time. Actually. It's very lean. Yeah. But you know what? Isn't it crazy that as you watch it, it's so many movies in one, and it has like all these like classic horror elements to it. It's even, it's got like the creepy car. So it's got some of that like horror when they, those guys run her off the road. And then you also have like, you know, it's a creature feature. You have the factory scene at the end. It's like all these classic elements of horror films, like various horror films crammed into one movie. But it's also like, I, Matt and I were talking about how it has like, the Shadow has this, what's his face? Sam Raimi look to it, right? Mm. But this one, I just, Evil Dead was 1985. This is 1984.
Right.
So I get the feeling he probably got a lot of inspiration. I don't know if that's true or not. Maybe he never saw it, but it seems
a lot of known directors love this.
Style.
Spielberg is on record saying he loves this. Tarantino is on record saying he loves this. Tarantino also has a weird obsession with the Australian Outback. Like, he even played an Australian, like an Aussie guy in Hateful Eight. Isn't he like an Aussie guy that shows up in the end?
Yeah. He's like the dynamite guy or something.
He has a weird obsession with the Outback, so I could totally, that tracks. Yeah, man, I could see Sam Raimi, maybe at the, I don't know if it overlaps exactly, but maybe it's one of those things where people have like parallel ideas or sensibilities that happen at the same time. You're like, oh shit, these two guys would probably get along if they lived in the same country. You know what I mean?
Or they would be producing each other's movies.
Oh, 100%, dude. Yeah.
To me, though, it's like visually and the pacing of this movie is fantastic. It's like, it's exactly when you see that cover of that the Razorback, it's basically everything you want out of the movie happens in this movie. You got like really disgusting, gross, weird characters. Like, the good makeup is not just on that Razorback. It's also on some of the characters. And my favorite scene, and it scared the living shit out of me, is after he meets that girl. After he has his walkabout, because it's Australian, there's always a walkabout scene.
Gotta have a walkabout.
So he's in the bed and she has her back toward him and she turns quickly and she has the Razorback face.
Yeah.
Holy shit, that was
just
great.
A split second.
Effects of this are fantastic.
Yes. I agree, man. I think it never lets up in the runtime. And you were saying, I think you're bang on that it does owe a lot to a lot of movies, and it owes a lot to two movies. Like, I think it giveth and it taketh away. Because here's one thing I loved, and it was also my only gripe with the movie. It reminded me of Jaws, right? Because you've got even the Quint character. You have this old man, this badass old guy. He sets the whole chain of events into motion. His grandson is taken by the Razorback. He vows revenge. You know, he's been ostracized by the town. He's got this badass, like, leather duster. He's out there with this fucking huge, like, elephant gun trying to kill this thing. That character was so badass. And I waited and waited. And they Boba Fetted him. They take him out before what the big Quint moment would be. Of them tracking the creature down and killing it. Cause like, I wanted to see that guy like get a piece, like get in there. And, but it was cool though. Like, as much as I was like, no, don't take this character away. It was such a good twist to have. What are those guys called? I almost want to call him Dick.
Are you talking about the Benny two and Dicko. Gross guys, right?
Yeah. Benny and Dicko are their names. I wanted to call him Dickhole.
Dick and Hole.
Yeah. When they like fucking bludgeon his legs and take him out. I was like, dude.
Those characters are such pieces of shit. First, there's like an attempted sexual assault that leads to the death of that guy's girlfriend. He teams up with them. They get that other guy killed. They suck. So it's really nice to see them get destroyed.
Like, yes. They're, physically, and they live in like a hole. They have a hole.
Literally in a cave.
I like if they meet him, they take him out and they're like, no, you're going to come sleep at our house. And I was like, okay, well, what's their house going to look like? It's a hole in the ground where they make sausages underground.
Yes,
the one guy is like sleeping in the corner. It's like a crack den underground.
Yeah, like a dank cave. And the dude's got like a Kano eye. What's up with that?
Oh, yes. Right, yeah.
What the fuck?
Yes, that was great. Like
mandatory Australian villain thing.
I also like too that they jazzed up Dicko for the end. Like, he has this Davy Crockett hat on and like some fucking shoulder pads on for.
Yeah.
Why? Why do you need those things?
It's just that Mad Max aesthetic.
Right, just to be fucking crazy.
I think I understood one fifth of everything they said. I could not fucking understand anything, but I got the
I don't
point.
Even think like, I agree with you. I don't think I even didn't even bother turning on subtitles. I was just like, hey, you know what, I get it. I just
It's even better.
Mine was born out of laziness because it was a thing where my cat, the podcast cat, jumped up on me and the remote was out of reach. And I was like, I can't do anything with this. I was like, I'm just going to watch the movie as is. I can't fix this problem right now. What did you guys think? Let's talk about the Razorback itself. Cause we touched a bit about it, you know, the guy that's gotta be the moment, right? It ripping that guy's house in half, basically. Were there any awesome Razorback moments for you guys?
Any of those Razorback scenes where it's just like tearing through, when it tears through the house in the first scene, that already grabbed your attention.
And then
it takes out that other guy's house. It takes out a car. That, by the way, also when they get to that field where basically, I guess that's where the Razorback lives. Did you notice there are like cars and trees? And I was like, did the Razorback throw these cars into the tree?
Yes. Oh, yes. I didn't even notice that. Such a good point, dude. Yes. Wow. I was going to ask you about that to see what you guys thought. Cause I was like, oh, it's making like a graveyard for itself. And part of me thought when I did see that detail, I was like, is this movie going to cross a line where the Razorback has been keeping like the baby who's now like 4 years old is like a feral child and the lady, the news lady's like half eaten, but somehow still alive. Like the guy in Seven who's like, that guy who wakes up. I was like, is this movie going to cross a line? No, it never does.
Oh my God.
By the way, there's part of me that do you remember that one guy they meet that's taking a shit in the shed where that guy gets killed?
How could I forget?
And he's kind of wearing this sweater that looks like the Razorback skin.
Oh,
I was like,
yes.
Are these people? I was, part of me, I don't know, is stupid, but I was like, are these people dressing up as the Razorback to terrorize the town?
Dude, that would be a great hook for like one of those CSIs that your grandparents watch. Where they would pretend like there was a small town that was terrorized by an animal. I think that might actually be a real CSI where they were being terrorized by an animal. It was revealed to be a man in a suit. You know what I'm
like
talking
the fucking
about?
The Village,
or every
Scooby-Doo. Right?
Yes.
Oh yeah, the Village.
Yeah, it's like the Village. Like the Village. I think
I would have liked it if it had turned into like it's a cult of Razorback and they like worship the Razorback. Like it fucking turns into Midsommar halfway through. Just human sacrifice.
That would be pretty cool, actually.
That's great.
I guess they didn't have a budget to crew that or to have a cast for something that size. Because it's actually the cast size is tiny. The only major scene with people is when, which is actually kind of funny, when the whole town goes with guns out to find the Razorback, but that one guy just can't catch a ride and he's just running around the town with his rifle.
Oh, the bar owner? Yeah. I like that nobody respects that bar owner. By the way, I was right. CSI Crime Scene Investigation, Fur and Loathing. He is wearing a mascot type suit of a raccoon. He died from a bullet wound. His furry costume leads detectives to a convention for people who identify themselves as animals.
Wow.
I really want to see that now.
They're really scraping the bottom of the barrel there.
I guess after about 35 seasons, you start running out of ideas.
You got to do something with David Caruso. What are you going to do with him? You guys know I'm like in the bag for like guys in rubber suits or giant physical creature effects. Yeah. I love the way the Razorback looks. So much. And Mulcahy wisely, he doesn't linger. Like you get very quick cuts. It's very like Ridley Scott Alien. It's like, really quick. Here's a flash of it. Yeah. Oh, there it is. Some of my favorite Razorback bits. I love the destruction, but one of my favorite things was, I want to say it was when the American guy goes to look for the wife who we know is dead. And he looks out, he's on walkabout, but he looks out like on the plane and you can see it for a moment. Like crossing like way in the distance at the back of frame and then it's gone. It's just that weird little thing to like jolt you, be like, oh fuck, did I see that? Like you're kind of in the headspace with that guy too.
That walkabout scene is pretty cool. That huge crack that forms and that undead horse that comes out of the ground.
Dude,
Muppet
thing. Nuts. Yeah.
that is like a labyrinth. You're right. That's sort of like a labyrinth horse. Or something.
Straight Jim Henson.
I did like that bit too. Yeah. That was ballsy to have him on the whatever that was. It was like a windmill or something. And like all the pigs just fuck with him.
Oh yeah, that was another crazy scene. And it falls over.
Yes.
There's
some good shit in this.
I was eating snacks and that dead pig surfaced from the water.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, ah. So yeah. Disgusting.
Mark was eating a pig in a blanket, and he was like, oh.
Oh, my pork chops.
My pork chops. Mark had one of those wieners you get at 7-Eleven that's like in the breading.
It's been spinning for like 40 days.
Oh, man. Yeah, it gets like almost surreal at moments, too. That when he is crawling, the main character is crawling back from whatever his first injury, it almost got like Tree of Life level surreal. We're like, what is happening? Is this real?
Yes.
It's crazy.
You're right, too. And then that the movie doubles down with like the illusion with her, you know, the lady having the pig face for a second, the labyrinth horse. Like, it plays with your perception of reality because that guy's brain is so fried at that point. He's like completely dehydrated. He's been, you know, exposure, right?
Yeah.
I did half expect, she was clearly set up as like a love interest. You could probably see they cut some scenes, but the blonde lady that takes him in and like, I kept waiting for it to be revealed. Like it was going to, I was like, okay, once they got the Quint character out, I was like, all right, it's going to come down to this guy. And I thought he was going to have to rescue her from the Razorback. Like it was going to take her and he was going to have to chase it. But I actually like the ending we got a lot more. I like that they utilize their location.
Oh, she's
like,
up there.
Right. It's like, here's the
Die Hard style.
Totally. He's got something tied around his waist.
By
the way, to you guys, did it feel like that was sort of like an add-on scene? Because as he's walking out, I'm like, it feels like she's dead and he's just going to walk out. But maybe they had a test audience and they're like, how about she's still alive? And she's just been up in the chains the whole time.
Yeah, it threw me a little bit. I did not expect it. Yeah. I was a little confused.
Yeah, I like that the Razorback did that. He had time to chain a woman up and tie her to the ceiling and then continuously fuck with the Razorback's like
using
cranking stuff up. Dude, the Razorback clocks in at the pet pack, takes it downstairs. Sees the woman.
Flintstone style.
Yeah. They're like, Phil, you've got a visitor. There's no Phil. It's the Razorback. He's in the break room. He comes out.
He's got like a coat on in disguise.
He's in the middle of taking a smoke break and he kicks the cigarette out and comes over. Dasein, we've been going nuts on this. Yeah, please tell us what you thought. Please enlighten us.
I was just going to say, how about the fucking demise of the Razorback? That was so satisfying. Between the gutting him or like spearing him with the thing and just vomiting blood all over him and then going into the grinder. Fucking so satisfying.
Because you get the hit earlier, right? Doesn't the Quint guy, doesn't he say something like, it's when he's on trial. And they're like, I've shot Razorbacks plenty of times. And he's like, the bullets don't penetrate. Gotta hit him from the bottom. And it was like that moment to spear up. Dude, I just realized. The Edge is also a creature feature because they got to defeat the bear. Yeah. They got to get the spear up under the bear. Same deal.
Soft underbelly.
Yes. Got to kill the motherfucker.
Wow, the Edge copied Razorback.
The Edge. It all comes back to Razorback. I think now it's going to put a lot of creature features into perspective now for us watching them to like, okay, well, how many movies were directly influenced by this movie? That's kind of what I love. I love to play this game with these, like, especially these like older foreign films. Because then you really see their influence on some of your favorite movies you never would have noticed. But Razorback was never on my radar before. The only like Australian movies I was kind of aware of were like all the Richard Stanley movies, like Hardware and Dust Devil.
Anything
like
on the Criterion Channel?
Crocodile Dundee in Los Angeles on the Criterion Channel. I saw that Criterion Channel was doing a whole thing this month where they were like, here are the worst. Here are some movies that are not fit for Criterion, and we're being ironic about it, like Freddy Got Fingered, Showgirls. They were showing like all the like notable Razzie winners. And I was like, what? I like that Criterion has a sense of humor. Good for them.
That's awesome. I did see that those movies were on there, and I didn't see the theme. That's kind of hilarious.
That was the theme. And then to double down, they revealed today, they were like, here are our Criterion July releases for Blu-ray and 4K. And the first, I shit you not, Mark,
Showgirls.
You will never guess what is the newest addition to the Criterion library, Mark. I'll give you a decade. It's an 80s movie, and it is not what you think.
80s movie.
80s movie, Mark.
Genre?
I thought you were going to say ambulance.
it's ambulance.
That should be on the Criterion.
It should.
If Armageddon's on there, ambulance should be too.
Bring ambulance.
Yes.
You know, Mark, all right, I'll tell you this. It's a comedy. It's a comedy from the 80s, and it's not what you think. And it is going to be an official selection of the Criterion Channel. Or Criterion Collection, sorry. Does Criterion it, Collection proper.
To you, does it deserve to be or no?
No way. I saw this and I was like, is this a prank? It's real. It's 100% real. And I'm going to show you the page.
Eurotrip.
Eurotrip was 2000. Is it the 40-year-old virgin?
You knew that. Eurotrip.
Dude, I like Eurotrip. Listen, I will go to bat for Eurotrip.
I watched that movie a lot when it came out.
Excuse me. I like it. All right, here we go. Big reveal, guys. This is real. Risky Business.
Oh.
Oh, all right. Wow.
The movie where Tom Cruise slides in with his underwear is officially now a Criterion movie.
Yeah.
Their cases are kind of looking shitty. Sorry. Do you remember when that RoboCop case came out? How gorgeous that shit was!
Oh, it was great. Yeah,
that's top
like
tier.
Stamped metal. Yeah,
let's look at that. Look at that.
This one looks like an extra of Tom Cruise.
Yeah, that one was a little lazy.
You're talking about this, right, Mark?
Yeah, look
this
at
like
that.
Steel.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, that awesome. Does look really
dude,
good.
If they made that an actual steel book that looked like that, how dope that would be, Matt.
They should steal this. Make this a steel.
Steel book.
A steelbook of Risky Business with a slipper cover, so when you slide it, he slides in.
That's
wouldn't that be good? Your producer in the booth, thank you. There you go, guys. It's not a joke. You can go look this up. It was revealed today. Risky Business.
Is it a good movie? Does anybody know?
I don't like it.
I've started it and turned it off very quickly.
There you go.
Yeah.
The only thing I remember about Risky Business besides that scene, he has sex with Rebecca De Mornay. There's like a 10-minute montage where they only have sex and it's all over the house. And it's in the worst place. Like they do it on the stairs. They do it outside by the trash cans. They do it in the attic. I was like, who is picking these locations?
By the trash cans.
They stop to recycle something. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep going.
That dump truck comes that raises it and just dumps them in the back.
Yeah.
They're in there. Oh!
The super shredder's
they're
hand
still going in.
Oh, I like it. Dude, we're getting a real TMNT vibe on this episode. The Razorback does remind me of Bebop, the Warthog, a little bit.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just saying. Throwing that out there. Wait a minute.
Inspiration
was,
for
was there anything the way, else from this movie you guys wanted to touch on?
I was actually going to say, I was like, oh man, I was like, did Razorback take its inspiration from Terminator with the factory scene? But then they both came out the same year. So
good point. Good
guess
point.
Not.
Yeah.
I mean, I think this movie has a lot of really cool ideas. And I agree what Matt said too. It's like, I do love the treatment of even though you see, you know, all these stills and it's the Razorback. To me, it didn't bother me at all that you see it in bits and pieces. I think it's way more effective to see it that way. I do like that. Of course, as you guys know, I'm a big fan of that original Alien movie. But like Matt said, it's I think when you have a low budget, it's sort of like how Pitch Black handled CG well because they did it at nighttime.
Yes.
Sparingly. It's like, it's nice to see directors that actually know how to handle effects. And you can see it throughout this guy's career.
Yeah.
His movies look awesome.
Like, and it's really... and an incredible amount of restraint too, dude, because if you think about it, he's so stylish and over the top just with like a fucking landscape shot, but that he has the restraint to be like, no, this is what works for a creature. It has to be quick. We have to be obscured. Like, I think to me, there is probably that temptation to be like, no, I want a big showy moment where it comes over into the frame. He's like, fuck that. When she's on the road and gets fucking assaulted by the fucking Razorback and it hits the side of the car, there's that quick flash where it hits the window, like driver's side window, and then it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like that, the way that is realized and edited, I think is super fucking smart. Russell Mulcahy is a badass. A badass. I love him.
It's
yeah, they definitely made the most. I haven't seen any of his other movies. This is the first one that I've seen.
Really?
Yeah, I want to run down.
I'm very intrigued.
I want to run down his filmography.
Seen Highlander?
Nope.
Wow. Oh, you gotta watch it.
I think that should be
your next stop. Yeah. For sure. Yeah. Yeah. That should be your next
stop.
Or
since you're a patron, you can check out The Shadow.
Yes. Yes. That The Shadow is one of those covers in the video store that I saw all the time growing up and was just always intrigued by, but never saw.
Oh, it's man, good. It is so fucking it's cool. So it is so cool. I'm trying to see like what he did between Highlander and The Shadow. And if you go to his IMDb, I'm going to show you guys now, it is littered with music videos. Like, Jesus Christ, everybody you could think of. Ah. Rod Stewart, Elton John. Oh, shit, dude, he did direct Highlander 2 The Quickening. That's too bad.
Oh, shit.
The Quickening. Oh,
Ricochet
is fantastic. Oh. Yes, we just both watched this, yeah. Was totally great. Here's one I've never heard of. Blue Ice. I almost thought it was Blue Steel. Here's Real McCoy. So here's your Shadow connection, because this is Alec Baldwin and Kim Basinger. Mm. So that's how he finds his way to the Shadow. Silent Trigger. The fuck is that?
Billy Joel.
Tale of the Mummy. Yeah, it's probably like a Billy Joel movie or something.
Well, look, Resurrection, he's finally getting his scores up.
There we go. He kind of loses his way a little bit, but.
Oh, he's in the grisly deleted scenes for Razorback. Oh, interesting.
Resident Evil Extinction, Mark. That was what you brought up the other week.
Yeah, that one was, wow, he did the
Scorpion King 2.
Yeah. Malone probably gets shit on a lot, but
it's a great movie.
Yeah.
I thought it was called Give 'Em Hell, Malone. No, or is that a different movie?
That's the same movie. It's sort of like what they did with... Oh, he did Teen Wolf, the movie, too?
Teen Wolf, the series. The MTV series, not the movies.
But I heard that one was pretty good. So at least he's done something of recent.
Give 'Em Hell, Malone is the name of this movie. But now they're just calling it Malone.
It was Give 'Em Hell, Malone, yeah.
Yeah, same.
Being Rames.
This movie is hardcore. If you want, like, this is like if Sin City was an action movie, like firmly an action movie. Like, we're not here to be cool and noirish. It's just our characters are dressed like they're in a noir, but it's a gunfight movie.
His car is dope in that movie.
It's great.
Too.
This would be a good double bill with Last Man Standing, the Bruce Willis movie. That's like Yojimbo, where he's just fucking shooting people. It's like that's people in fedoras shooting at each other. That's what this genre is. Blue Ice. Never heard of this. A British Secret Service agent falls for an American woman and becomes entangled in a web of espionage.
That's the most generic plot ever.
Yeah. Also, doesn't it look like that gun is photoshopped?
It's Michael Caine.
Damn.
That it doesn't even look like they were in the same room for this photo.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. It's like they pasted them separately.
They took Sean Young. And then they took a cardboard standee of Michael Caine and moved it into the room. And they were like,
it looks like
the lighting is totally different on her arm versus his face. Like
this is totally made of cardboard. I think that's why it looks weird.
Also not lit at all, the gun.
Now this movie I've seen and is pretty cool.
Is it good?
I like thief movies, like heist movies. It's just not particularly good, but it's fun and stylish. Take that as you will.
Mm-hmm.
It's a disguise movie. It's one of these, you know, I'm in disguise. I'm in a wig. I'm in a different set of glasses. It's one of those kind of movies.
This actually looks really fun, though, just watching these scenes.
It's got your boy Val Kilmer in it.
Yeah.
Young Val.
Oh.
The podcast cat returns. Silent Trigger.
Wow, a Dolph Lundgren.
A Dolph Lundgren straight to video.
Look at that
His
gun.
Name is
Jesus Christ.
I like that he's one-handing it too.
Yeah. He's got ear protection on though. He's good.
That's very smart of him.
This gun is as big as those things you remove. Like when you see a guy working on your company's printer and he's taking a giant tray out. That's this gun. They just put some bullets on the side of that thing.
It's like industrial. Printer toner.
Yeah.
They trained him to kill. Now they want him dead.
Look at the bullets are the size of his face.
Yeah.
Also, I like this vaguely suggestive sci-fi background. Like, maybe he's in a futuristic city.
Building.
Maybe not.
The building has wings on it. That means it's a sci-fi.
Yeah, man. So, wow, we really caught him in his day, Russell Mulcahy, before he started making some weird stuff. Yeah.
Ew, this looks terrible. But I can see how he got the Scorpion King, too, from this.
Yeah,
this is his audition tape. Yeah,
this is like the year before The Mummy, right? This was take one.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly. Yes, that's right. That's totally right. He was there, man. He saw the Mummy came out, and he was like, "God damn it!"
Yeah, he's ahead of his time.
Yeah,
and Resurrection.
I kind of want to see this just because it got a 6.1 rating, and it's his.
It went up a bit. That served enough to be like, okay, maybe I can trust this one.
The cover is pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, it's got a cool mask design.
That is actually a pretty good looking mask.
Yeah.
There you go.
Look at how bad that font is from the acclaimed director of Highlander. Ew.
Now, if this movie had balls, the last scene, it would be revealed, like you'd see his ID and his name would be like Duncan MacLeod, and you would be like, the Highlander turned into a serial killer. That's where he's been all these years. That would be amazing. Guys, anything else we want to add? We've had a really good time discussing Razorback because I just think it's, I mean, literally, if you're not excited, if you're listening to this, you're not excited about Razorback, you should be. It's not just a great creature feature. I think it's also a super capable, it's just a super capable thriller. Like, if you are at all interested, take the plunge, watch it. It's great. It goes by so quickly. It's over in 90 minutes, and it was a thrill ride. Like, I had a great time from start to finish. And I actually liked, I'm getting to the point now, I don't know about you guys, but like, I like seeing movies with actors I don't recognize, because then I'm able to just lose myself in the movie. I'm having a real problem now with, like, I'm like, there's Will Smith and there's Martin Lawrence and there's this person, right? I'm getting kind of jaded now a little bit. It's fun to see, like, these people. I was like, who the fuck? Like this guy, like the main guy in this movie, he's like a fake Walton Goggins. Like, he looks like Walton Goggins. I was like, who the fuck is this? This guy, I've never heard of him before. Did he go on to do anything? I have no idea.
I don't even think.
He looks familiar, though, for some reason.
All right, let's look him up.
I don't know why, but to me, he looks familiar. Hold on, see.
And I'm gonna tell you, Mark. I'm going to tell you who this guy is. Mark says he looks familiar. Let's go to the tape. The man's name is... I can't find him. I can't fucking find him. Where is he? Here he is, Gregory Harrison.
Has he done anything?
All right, I'm going to reveal it now. No. He's been on General Hospital. That's what he did. He went on to become a soap opera actor. Yes. What about the blonde lady that takes him in? Arky Whiteley is her name. All right, here we go. Oh! You guys have definitely seen her. She's in Mad Max 2, The Road Warrior.
Oh, shit.
Wow.
She's in The Road Warrior and not much else. Road Warrior.
That's it? Oh, man. Yeah,
that's it.
Pretty unknown people, I suppose.
I don't even think the old guy was an actor. I think they just found that guy.
They just found a real outback hunter.
He was just on a... he was on a walkabout and they just grabbed him.
Yeah,
they were like, we'll pay you
services.
We'll pay you in cigars and leather. And he was like, okay.
We'll give you this vest.
The best screams and the best freeze frames in the movie.
So I'm looking at that guy's IMDb, the fake Quint, and I see that he's in, I'm going to show you guys this because you're not going to believe me. Yeah, I see, Peter Pan, like one of these newer Peter Pan movies. I was like, maybe did he play like Captain Hook or something? No, guys, he played the fairy guide.
What?
Of course he did.
Wait, is what you think? Oh shit, it's this version. Remember this version? It's not the Hugh Jackman version.
Oh, wow. I totally forgot about this version.
Yes, it's this version. He plays one of the fairies. So there you go.
Really? Wow, interesting.
It just has like a Bowie knife on his back.
And a shotgun.
They were like, look, he wanted to play the crocodile that eats Hook, but we've already got a crocodile built. Just let him play one of the fairy guides. Let me ask you fellas this. You know what? We'll talk to our guest, Dasein. Dasein, have you ever been to Australia? Have you ever visited?
Absolutely fucking not. It
Okay, same.
terrifies
Me
me.
either. Yeah.
Really?
I was
I
going to
have
ask
no,
you,
yeah.
would you go now after having seen Razorback? Would you willingly go pay money to go to Australia?
If there was 1% of me that wanted to go before, there's zero now. Just like everything wants you fucking dead. Like I'm good.
After watching this movie and hearing Dave from from Love Cinema, Dave the Aussie, hearing his stories from his
Yeah.
hometown, I don't need to fucking go. Mark, have you been all over the world? Have
I've
you
been
been
a
to
bunch of
Australia?
times to Australia, yeah, and
And
in
you
the outback
survived.
too. It is that empty.
So you're a Razorback.
Damn.
You're not a real
I just
guy.
all you would see is like these massive like delivery trucks that, and they're not like the ones here. It's like three trailers linked together, and they would just be tearing down these highways,
Wait a
and it would
minute,
just
wait a
be
minute.
desert everywhere.
But did you go to the out, 'cause is the out,
Yeah,
all right, I'm
yeah.
gonna ask an
We got to
ignorant
the part.
question.
I
Is
remember
the
we even hit a
outback is different
kangaroo.
than like Sydney or whatever,
Oh,
right? That's
it's
different.
just like a wasteland.
It's like the
Jesus.
whole middle,
It's like
right?
a huge empty space. Yeah, it's just
Jeez.
all unusable. There's a lot of mining and stuff like that, but you don't really see too many people.
Mark,
It's
did you
just
I've
really
heard.
weird.
Did you see the pet
Yeah.
pack where they make the dog
No,
food?
I didn't.
You
Thank
gotta
God.
see that.
I have heard it's one of the best places to see the Milky Way, like
Oh,
that in
probably,
like
yeah.
Hawaii
It's
or like the
dark,
middle of
yeah.
the ocean. But
Isn't that
yeah.
such a bummer? You have to go to these dangerous places to
Yeah.
see these beautiful
Yeah.
things.
Yeah.
It's never somewhere easy that you can easily access.
Well,
Just
you
go to
can,
Miami and see the star
yeah.
field. You're
You
like,
can go to
I
Joshua
can't do
Tree.
that.
That's pretty easy if you're in California.
That's
Isn't
true.
that,
I did
you
do that
probably just
recently.
they kill
It's
two.
amazing.
It's actually like 35 minutes from Palm Springs, so I go a lot. So, but anyway,
Wow.
like Australia is terrifying. It is. The
I'm
people
glad
are,
to hear this
I remember, you know
confirmed.
what? I remember we had this tour guide
Here we go.
who was a short guy, and for some reason this tour guide insisted that every celebrity in the US that you see in the movies is really short. He's like, yeah, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger, he's like 5'3" or something. And I'm like, dude, he's not
No, he's
five
not.
foot three. Are you insane? It's like,
Patently
have you
false.
not seen him standing next to other giant people? But this guy just thought everyone was like ridiculously short. It was the
Why?
weirdest thing. He would just randomly be like, you know, that actor I saw once in Australia, he's really short. And I was like, no, he's not.
Heard of Andre the Giant? Not so giant, is
feet.
he? He stands at a firm 4'11".
Yeah. He could fit in the palm of my hand.
I took him to work
Like,
once in my pocket.
we made this guy a chimney
Yeah,
sweep.
now he's like a chimney sweep. Oi, Mary Poppins.
It's a thin line to cockney.
We'll hear that from Dave soon, probably.
Yep.
Yep.
I'm gonna tell you guys, I have no interest in going to Australia. I didn't have interest then, kind of similar to Dasein. I'm gonna piggyback. And then hearing Dave and knowing Dave, I was like, I don't want to go there. And then after seeing this movie, it just confirmed my suspicions that there are two things in the outback. There are kangaroos, and now there are razorbacks. I don't want to meet either
Yeah.
one.
And
So
weirdos. Oh,
I'm
and the
good.
other thing is, once you get to this whole, this is gonna be me shitting on Australia. Apologies to any
We're
Australian
never gonna,
listeners.
it's okay. We'll never
But
chart there.
yeah.
It's okay.
You know the Matrix, the first one is shot in Australia and the city is just a generic city because every city in Australia looks generic and boring and
Really?
dead. They're all dead and
Yeah,
boring.
the only piece of architecture I know is that what's that that they had
The
it in
Sydney
Mission
Opera
Impossible, the
House?
Opera House. Yep,
Where
that's
Jackie
it. Yeah.
Chan also slid off of it too.
That's
Yes.
right. Wait,
Yes.
which Jackie Chan was that? Is that
I
like
think
Who
it was
Am I?
Police Story or one of
Oh,
those.
it's one of the police stories. I thought it was one of those like quickie Miramax ones, like Twin Dragons. Remember that? Or Who Am I? When he's like holding a fucking violin, and you're like, is he a music teacher? What is
Violin.
this? Yeah, there's a Jackie Chan cover from one of his like 90s like American import movies that they bought. Like Miramax clearly bought a catalog of movies from Golden Circle, and one of them, I swear to God, is him holding like a violin, like woo, like he teaches music. But it was, you know, it was
That
like a
is
Jackie Chan
variation,
movie.
though.
Yeah,
Anyway,
Jackie
fair
Chan
enough.
movie cover,
I
violin. I
hope it's
fucking
Sammo
found
Hung
it. I
instead.
found it. Thank you, internet.
Yes.
And I was right. I'm going to share my screen. It's Twin Dragons. See, this guy has a violin and lets you know that he plays violin. See,
I love that they also have to say Jackie Chan and Jackie Chan.
Right. We don't get it confused.
He doesn't have a twin.
Wait, I wanted to read. What's this tagline? One's a martial arts master. The other's
a really long one.
Maestro. Yes, yeah. Now they're about to show the world the two Chan. Oh, two Chans are better than one.
That's all it should have been. Two chans are better than one.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yes. That's fine.
You need to get a job for this company.
Yeah. Oh, Jackie Chan needs you quickly.
Yeah. Look, his career's back now.
So it seems like we're kind of closing this out. Let's kick it over to our guest, Dasein. Dasein, would you recommend Razorback?
I would say if you are looking for a tight 90-minute movie where you're going to be entertained as hell the whole time. You're going to laugh a lot. You're going to get squeamish. You're going to be, you know, on a little bit of an emotional ride too with the characters. Watch this fucking movie. There's no reason to not watch this movie. I had a blast.
Absolutely. Yeah. Marcus, I think, what do you think? Recommend from you?
Dasein said it the best, but I'll just add on that if you're also like big into Sam Raimi and those type of creatures, like just balls to the wall action movies and with a lot of suspense and crazy effects, physical effects, then definitely watch this movie.
Yeah, I echo the sentiments of these two gentlemen. Watch Razorback. It fucking rules. It's great. It's so fun. Even if you were listening to this episode and you're like, oh no, they spoiled shit. We didn't spoil jack shit. You can watch this. It's a movie impossible to spoil because us saying that the Razorback rips a guy's house in half.
Yeah.
You have to see it to believe it. Okay. And I promise you the real thing when you see it will live up to the hype or exceed it. Yeah. So do yourself a favor. Run out and see Razorback. I want to thank our special guest this week. Dasein, please tell the people where they can find you. And if there's anything you want to plug, anything you want to talk about.
Dude, thank you so much for having me on. This has been awesome. A bit of a fanboy. I've been trying not to like, you know, get in my head about it, but this has been just amazing. I would say, yeah, just go to Spotify or Apple Music or whatever. You can find me there at Dasein, Dasein, and just, you know, give it a shot.
Nice. Are there any Are there any tracks or albums you would suggest maybe people if they want to start? Like, what's a good entry point in your catalog or discography for people?
Yeah, I would say probably the best place to start would be with the Nescient One piece, because it's kind of the beginning of a larger project that I'm working on now. It's very accessible. It's broken up. It's a long piece, but it's broken into five very digestible tracks that you can kind of, you can pick up wherever you want. But I would say in general, as you approach these types of pieces, it is best listened from start to finish. If you treat it kind of like a movie, fans of this podcast, you know, if you're a movie watcher, just kind of treat it like that. Go on the ride. Yeah, I would start with Nescient One.
Nice. All right. There you go. Cool. Nescient One from Dasein. Check him out on Spotify. It is really cool. And if you've listened to our brother podcast, Love of Cinema, you've heard his music already. You want to listen to it, trust me. You know that shit is good. Go listen. That's it for us. We'll be back next week. Who knows what it is? Yeah, it's a big old shrug. We don't know. But be here. We'll see you guys next time. We're out of here. Peace.
Peace.